Hi there, thank you for tuning in once again. So today we're going to start by talking about the five key elements that a well-rested baby we believe make up healthy sleep. So we have so much information to share with you and so many topics to cover, but this is a great place for us to start because this explains our philosophy. This is the backbone of all of our consultations. It's the backbone of our plans. And we feel as though no matter your child's age, these five elements need to be applied consistently in order for your child to be a healthy and independent sleeper. So the five elements are a consistent place to sleep, a schedule that is in sync with your child's circadian rhythms or biological clock, a flexible bedtime, a consistent soothing routine, and your child's ability to put themselves to sleep. So we'll break down each of those five. You may already have a few of these in place, or you may not have any in place, and that's okay. If you're looking to get your child's sleep on track, though, these five simple rules will absolutely help with that. They're critical to healthy sleep. So the first, a consistent place to sleep. The first rule is really that your baby needs to sleep in his crib, period. So it would be more convenient, of course, if we could carry our babies around and wear them and have them nap in the car while we check errands off of our to-do list, but that's not the way that your child is going to get adequate sleep. So all babies and toddlers really need to be sleeping in their crib in order to be getting quality and restorative sleep. So when a child is sleeping in a stationary location, like a bed or a crib, they're going to get their most restorative sleep. Vibrations or motion during sleep, so if you think about a child sleeping in a stroller or a car seat, actually forces our brains into a lighter sleep state and therefore reduces the restorative power of a nap. So it's very similar to how you may feel if you doze off on an airplane or if you take an overnight flight and you sleep on the airplane. Yes, you slept, but you're going to wake up feeling very groggy and it's not really going to be restful sleep. So a nap on the go is the same for your child. It's okay if it happens once in a while, but naps should really take place in your child's bed or crib at least 80% of the time. So if your child is taking 10 naps a week, then we want at least 8 of those 10 naps to be happening at home in a stationary crib or bed. And the more sleep they get at home in a stationary crib or bed, the more rested they're going to be. Your motivation for prioritizing naps and making sure that they do in fact happen at home is that sleep is cyclical. So naps affect nighttime sleep. If your child doesn't get adequate daytime sleep, then they're going to go into the night in an overtired state, and overtired children do not sleep as well. So if you want your child to sleep well overnight so that you can also sleep well overnight, then your child needs to be getting quality sleep during the day so they can go into the night in a well-rested state. So not only do we want to make sure that they're sleeping in the right place, but we also want to make sure that their nursery is conducive to sleep. So a general rule of thumb is that your child's sleep environment should be cool, dark, and quiet. So very simple. It's not something new, most likely. Oftentimes you've already heard that a sleep environment should be cool, dark, and quiet. This applies to all sleep periods. So a very common misconception is that children will be confused about daytime and nighttime if naps occur in a pitch black room. That is not the case at all. Day and night confusion ends by 6 weeks of age, so you do not need to be concerned about that. The best environment for your child to be napping is a pitch black environment. So if you can think about a cave, that's how dark we want it. We don't want any light streaming in. So we recommend shades and curtains. I don't recommend night lights. We even cover the little lights on monitors and humidifiers. So really as pitch black as you can get your child's room is the optimal dark environment for sleep. Cool means that your child's sleep environment is between 65 and 70 degrees. Many parents think that their child will be cold when that's often not the case. So a cooler environment is far more conducive to sleep than one that is too warm. Actually, an environment that is too warm can lead to many partial awakenings. So we want a cool environment so your child, again, can get their best quality sleep. And as far as quiet, of course, when any member of the household is sleeping, we want to be respectful of that. So if your child is napping, then you want to choose household activities that are not going to disrupt your child's sleep. Since you don't want to be tiptoeing around your house, most likely, a great tool that we always recommend is a white noise machine. if you're going to utilize a white noise machine, just a few quick rules are that you want it to be at least 4 feet or more from your child's head, so not too close to their little ears. And we want it on just plain white noise. We don't want it on jungle sounds or whale sounds. We want it on one consistent sound. Any variation in sound actually does not allow your child's brain to enter a deep state of sleep. So we want to make sure it's just plain, boring white noise. So if your child can nap at home in an environment that's conducive to sleep at least 80% of the time, then they are going to get their best quality sleep during the day and therefore go into the night well rested, and therefore the whole family can get adequate nighttime sleep as well. This rule also applies to overnight sleep. So if your child is sleeping in a crib or a bed or a bassinet, that is where they should stay for the duration of the night. So a lot of families will say that their child sleeps in his or her bed until midnight, and then when the child wakes up, they're brought into the parent's bed. This is too confusing for a child. It really doesn't lead to restorative sleep for anyone. So we want to choose one consistent sleep location and implement that throughout the night. It is okay to have one location for nap time and one location for nighttime sleep. So for instance, if your child goes to daycare and naps at daycare, of course, they're not going to spend the night at daycare. Or if your child is still in your room overnight, but you'd prefer to have them in have he or she in his or her room during the day, that is okay. You could choose to have your child nap in his or her nursery during the day, but sleep in your room overnight, and that's still consistent. We just want to make sure that wherever your child starts the night, that's where they wake up in the morning as well. Our second element is making sure that we're respecting our child's circadian rhythms or biological clock. So we all have circadian rhythms. This is just our biological clock. Nap time should follow your baby's biological clock. Circadian rhythms make us feel drowsy at certain times. So at these times, it's easiest to fall asleep and get our most restorative sleep. These times change as your child grows older, but we always want to be basing our child's nap schedule off of their biological clock. That way the sleep that they get is in sync with their rhythms and they'll be able to achieve their best sleep. It would be the same if you were to try to go to bed for the night at 4 p.m. It would be really difficult for you to fall to sleep. Your body is probably ready for sleep around 9 or 10 o'clock. Your child's body is primed and ready for sleep at certain times during the day as well, and we want to make sure that we're offering sleep at the correct times. An hour at the correct time actually does more for your child's body than 2 hours at the wrong time. So having a biologically appropriate schedule in place is really critical to ensuring that your child gets restorative sleep. So if your child is on a 2-nap-a-day schedule, then the first nap should occur between 8:30 and 9 a.m. and last at least 1 hour. And your child's second nap should occur between 12:30 and 1 p.m. and again, last at least 1 hour. If your child is down to 1 nap a day, then that one nap should start between 12:30 and 1 p.m. and last at least 90 minutes. If you're always offering sleep at the correct time, then your child is going to get their best quality sleep. Your third element is keeping bedtime flexible. So a common misconception is that bedtime is 7 p.m. or bedtime is 7:30 p.m. when in fact we want to be basing our child's bedtime off of when they woke up from their last nap and how long they can tolerate being awake for before becoming overtired, depending on their age. So the amount of time that a child can tolerate being awake for between the end of their last nap and bedtime is dependent on their age. We have a great chart on our website that shows you how much time a child can tolerate based on their current age. So for instance, if your child is 5 or 6 months old, they can tolerate 2 to 2.5 hours of awake time between the end of their last nap and bedtime. If your child is 1 year old, they can tolerate 4 hours of awake time between the end of their last nap and bedtime. But that is how we're going to determine bedtime. We are not going to look at the clock and say it's 7:30, it's bedtime. You are going to look at the clock and say, my child woke up at 3 p.m., they are 1 year old, so they can stay awake until 7 p.m. If I keep them awake beyond that point, they're going to become overtired. So therefore, I know my child needs to be in bed a bit before 7 so they can be fast asleep by 7 and go into the night in a rested state. That's how we're going to determine bedtime. We're going to keep it flexible, always based on the time that your child woke up from their nap and the quality of their nap. So we talked about how one of our key elements is making sure your child naps at home in his or her crib or bed. If, for instance, your child naps in the car one day because you were out doing errands and your child fell asleep, that's not going to be a very restorative nap. Therefore, that night, bedtime may have to be a little bit earlier because you know that the quality of their daytime sleep wasn't as great as it typically is. So you want to think about the timing of bedtime, how long your child can tolerate being awake for, and the quality of their nap as well. Once your child is no longer napping, then you're going to just base bedtime off of how much sleep your child needs in a 24-hour period and what time they're typically waking up and starting their day. So if your child is 4 years old and needs 13 hours of sleep in a 24-hour period and wakes up at 7 a.m., you're going to work backwards from that time and ensure that your child is getting 13 hours of sleep by putting your child to bed around 6 p.m. Bedtimes are often much earlier than parents anticipate or think might be appropriate, but keep in mind that babies, toddlers, kids, they're constantly growing and learning. They need far more sleep than an adult, and most sleep issues stem from a child being overtired and not too well rested. So don't be afraid of an early bedtime. Children up until the age of 7 do best with a bedtime that occurs before 7:30 p.m. So 6 to 7:30 is really an optimal window for bedtime, and we're going to determine what time within that range is appropriate, again, by looking at your child's nap for the day and what time they woke up. Our fourth element is a consistent soothing routine. So the most important factor of a consistent soothing routine is that it's consistent from day to day and it ends with your child being awake. So once your child is beyond the age of 6 or 8 weeks old, we want to ensure that your child is putting his or herself to sleep so that if and when they wake up during the night, they can get themselves back to sleep. So your routine can be very simple. It may include a diaper change, turning on a white noise machine, and singing one song and putting your child down awake in his or her crib. A routine for a baby under the age of 9 months should be super short and sweet. We don't want your child to become overstimulated during the routine. So really 5 to 10 minutes is perfect. As your child gets a bit older, you may want to incorporate activities that take a bit longer, such as reading books, but still a bedtime routine, a naptime routine doesn't have to be overly complicated. It's best if you can end with one element that is the same at all sleep periods, day after day. For instance, choosing one song like Twinkle Twinkle Little Star or You Are My Sunshine and singing that to your child every time it's time for them to nap and every night at bedtime. That will be a cue to your child that sleep is coming next. And that is all your job is. You want to tell your child that it's time to sleep. You do not want to put him or her to sleep. After the age of 8 weeks, that becomes their job. We want to ensure that your child knows how to put themselves to sleep. It's going to be a skill that they'll need for the rest of their lives. So it's great if you can start early on and make sure that you are incorporating a soothing routine, but that your routine ends with your child being awake. The last element is teaching your child to fall to sleep or teaching your child self-soothing skills. So there are several ways you can teach your child to self-soothe. At Well Rest a Baby, we teach families about 4 methods, but we do ask families to choose the method that's the best fit for their family. So this is where you need to decide what your parenting philosophies are, what you're comfortable with as far as sleep training, and choose the method. Regardless of the method that you choose, as far as teaching your child to self-soothe, there most likely will be some tears because this is something new for your child, and that's often how children protest, is through tears. But there are very gentle methods that you can utilize. So oftentimes families think that if they're going to sleep train, it means they have to put their child in his or her crib, shut the door, and not return until the morning. Although that is an option, it is certainly not the only option. So there are gentle methods and aggressive methods, and you need to decide as a parent what you're comfortable with and what you can stick to day after day, because that is the most important piece. So once you start sleep training, you want to make sure that you're staying consistent and you're utilizing the same method and response day after day and night after night. At Well Rest a Baby, we teach families about a pick-up, put-down method, the chair method, check and console, and extinction. So those are the four methods that we advocate. We feel as though they're successful, and it gives families a range of gentle to aggressive and allows a family to choose a method that's comfortable for them. Regardless of the method, as long as you're consistent, you will be successful. But as I said, it's a matter of consistency and making sure that your response is the same, even when the going gets tough. So those are the five elements that at Well-Rested Baby we believe make up healthy sleep. So whether your child is 4 months old, 2 years old, or 4 years old, we always want those five elements to be in place: a consistent place to sleep, a schedule that is reflective of your child's biological clock, a flexible bedtime, a consistent soothing routine, and your child's ability to put themselves to sleep. So if you need help implementing these five elements, we're here to help. Please visit us at wellrestedbaby.com. You can find us on Instagram and Facebook as well. Thank you for tuning in today, and good luck implementing these five elements.